Bonjour, Europe. This is Cardiff Bay calling. Yes, it's Eurovision weekend, and two clubs in the Davabet Welsh Premier League have their eyes firmly set on a European prize. It's the £200,000 playoff for a Europa League place. It's Gap Connors Key against Airbus. Mark Jonah-Jones is here to preview the game with me. Think of him as the Conchita Wurst of Welsh football. Jonah, how much are you looking forward to this game?
Thank you very much for that introduction. Should be a great game. Both teams played really well last Saturday in their semi-finals. Collins Key defeating Carmarthen 2-0 on Sunday, and Airbus defeating Newtown 2-1 in a wonderful semi-final on Scotland last Saturday evening, which with plenty of action. And this will be a magnificent playoff. I'm sure of it. You know, was it written in the stars the moment that Andy Morrison left Airbus to go to Gap Connors Key that they'd meet at the end of the season? You couldn't write it, but it have happened.
How much effect does insider knowledge have on these things, Jonah? I mean, they both know each other, and they both know each other's clubs, and they both know each other's style of play.
They worked together for 6 or 7 years, so they'll know everything about each other. Andy Morrison know everything about Airbus, and I'm sure Andy Priest will know a lot about Gap Connors Key, so it's on the day who performs better. Bound to be a bit of needle about it, but, you know, it's a European playoff. It's a £200,000 at stake. It's almost another Welsh Cup final.
I was going to say, it really is a cup match, and both sides have got to ignore the previous form between the two teams, and they've got to think of this as a cup final. And arguably, Airbus have had two cup finals of late. They had the semi-final, and they had a proper cup final a few weeks ago. So are they in more of a better mentality for this sort of game than Gap Connors Key?
Well, yeah, that could bode well for Airbus in their preparation, but I'm sure Gap Connors Key will be prepared exactly the same. And Andy Morrison said only last week that whatever happens, the four teams have got to the semi-finals, and let's cut no cloth, he said, we're going to be disappointed any of the four teams who don't win it. So the two teams will be disappointed to be out. Chris Hughes' Newtown and Mark Hazelwood's Carmarthen both done well to get there, but they're out, and they'll be absolutely gutted. And whoever wins now, the beaten finalists will be gutted. So he's speaking the truth. It really is game on for Europe.
Let's have a look at some head-to-head clashes. Well, where are the best challenges going to be in this game between certain players?
They've got wonderful wingers. Airbus, again, Wignall was busy on the wing Saturday. He's always busy, you know. Whether he gets a ball across first time or not, he always seems to retain it and get across in the end. So he'll be tightly marked by Sean Smith. Again, you don't know who they're going to play up top, Airbus. I thought that was a smart move last week, playing Tony Gray up top instead of Budrys. But he may go back to Budrys this weekend with more physicality, because you may think that Gap Connors Key are a bit more physical in Newtown. So, you know, there's plenty of scenarios, and there's a lot of one-on-ones all over the field.
Quite ironic that they have got good wingers at Airbus. You see what I did there? Yeah. Let's turn to Connors Key Nomads, because one thing that Andy has done is he's got some really decent results out of them in the second half of the season. But Andy keeps on telling me not to talk about that because this is a cup final. But I want to talk about individual players who could make a difference for Nomads. One name I haven't heard much of late, Jonah, is Les Davis. Where's Les? Is Les going to make a difference here?
You know, I don't think he's out of the frame. I'm sure he'll be one of the main men on the day, because he has that pedigree of playing in big games. He played in plenty of big games for Bangor, big cup finals, and performed on the day. But Nick Rushton has started to do well again. Now, he started to get goals. You know, he's ex-Wrexham, ex-Newtown. He has plenty of goals in his locker, and he's just, you know, he's knocking goals in at the right time again now, Rushton, and he could be a key player.
So, remind us of the odds in a second, Jonah. But first, let's have your neck on the line. Who's going to win this?
Yeah, the odds, 10 to 11. That's how tight it is, I think. 10 to 11, Gap Connors Key. 10 to 11, Airbus. Pick a winner. I have to stick my neck out. Well, I'm going to really stick it out this time. I'm going to say it's going to go to penalties. And the best penalty takers are going to win.
That's not sticking your neck out. That has been absolutely neutral. Now, as a presenter of the podcast, I'm allowed to be neutral, so I'm not picking one. But fair play, those odds do say it all. It is tight. I hear what you're saying about Airbus, and I absolutely agree with it, but I do think, even though Andy's going to tell me not to talk about momentum and their previous scores, Andy Morrison, I think I could make a case for Gap Connors Key winning this, perhaps on penalties, perhaps their rise over the past few weeks and months would have given them just a little bit more strength. And even if that's where the penalty taker comes up and their penalty taker has the strength to knock one more in than Airbus, maybe that will be the difference. But I don't know. I really think that this is Nomad's time and maybe this will show up. Just want to change the subject slightly. Of course, Nomads and Airbus, definitely still something to play for. The rest of the teams now are at end of season, and this is the time where they change and people are let go and players are let go. What's it like at this time of year having to say goodbye to some of those players as a manager?
To be honest, Mac, it most probably doesn't come down to the final week. You start making your mind up around, you know, just after Christmas, most probably. If you're in a job and you know you've got the job for next season as well, you're always working. Just, you know, second half of the season, you're starting to begin thinking about the start of next season. And you build yourself up towards the end of the season. You wouldn't make a rash decision and get rid of somebody in 1 week. You would have built it up over the last couple of months. And that's how you make a decision. That's how I think how most managers make a decision. There's been a, you know, the Honourable Shakeups, there's been a big shake-up at Park Hall with Mike Wilde, Kai Edwards, Ryan Edwards, Danny Gossett, Jordan Wells, Fizzing Cardjadi and Ryan Kershaw, all leaving the Welsh Premier League champions. So, just for instance, Craig Harrison there, he hasn't done that overnight. He would have thought about it. He would have thought about who he could bring in. So I think that's the prime example of it's not done over one game or over one, you know, blip in a training session where you've had something go wrong or anything like that. It's done over a couple of months.
And interestingly, you've had to prepare a team for European competition a few weeks later, and you've worked with teams where you've had no games to worry about in August. Does that make it easier or harder to let players go, knowing that you have extra things to think about in Europe coming up in the next few weeks?
The European one is the better one. As a manager, you're almost on a wave of emotion, and you may bring one or two in. I don't think many more will bring more. Anybody usually brings more than one or two in, because the team who would have got you to Europe would have done you know, really well, and they're on a crest of a wave, and they're all desperate to play in Europe, and that's when they are at the top of their game. Yeah, you bring in one, two, maybe three. But that's the better scenario to be in. Everybody's raring to go, and that's the best time to be as a manager.
Still to come on the Davabet Welsh Premier League podcast, some good news and interesting news from Rhyl. And Kevin Druids, where did you go? You went down the shop a season ago to get some milk, and you've been missing. Well, you're back now, and me and Jonah will be analysing your chances in the new league next season. But first, a man who's caught the headlines for the third time in this Davabet Welsh Premier League. Chris Venables came from nowhere to get the golden boot yet again, and I'm delighted he joins me on the phone now. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you very much. Very pleased, obviously, to win it for a third time in a row.
Three don't go together, though. What are you going to do? You've got an odd pair there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've got some more work to do, I think, haven't I? Or at least I'll try anyway.
Where do they go, the golden boots? I'm very interested. Are they pride of place on the mantelpiece?
Yeah, well, there's only two there at the moment. There's obviously the way to collect my third now, so I might have to start thinking about spreading them out a bit or something, I think.
It's a testament on how much you've achieved in this league, and I suppose a testament of how much you enjoy playing in this league to be able to win that title three times.
Yeah, sure. It's a long time now since my first game back in 2003. So, you know, I've said many times that it's not something I ever expected to win. So, to come as it has done has been as much of a surprise to me as everyone else, really, I suppose. But, you know, it's to follow in the footsteps of, you know, one of my great friends, Reece Griffiths, and some other great players, Graham Evans and such like. It's, I'm over the moon with it.
Was it harder this season?
Yes. Yeah, it was. Certain times where, you know, I've played different roles this year, and rather than just an out-and-out attacker midfielder, I've played in what we call a screen as more of a defensive midfielder on a number of occasions. I've missed a couple of games, sat on the bench for different reasons, so it's all contributed really to making it a harder task, that's for sure.
And it's been a tighter league, full stop, and you've had Tony Gray breathing down your neck and Mark Williams breathing down your neck. Has that made it a little bit more exciting and perhaps a little bit of a nicer win that you've been able to sort of come from behind and take it?
I suppose, yeah, at the end of it, when we're sat here now, it's made it nicer. It certainly didn't during the season, obviously, having to, you know, whereas last year I was ahead for... And most of the season, in fact, I think all the season from the first game, I was ahead. Obviously, this year, like you say, it's been Tony Gray and Mark Williams in particular who've done well, and it's a case of you know, trying to chase them down. So looking back now, I suppose it is more satisfying, but certainly during the season, it's you know, they'll be more stressful, I suppose.
Would it be fair to say that Aberystwyth have had two halves of one season, one very bad half and one very good one?
Yeah, I suppose so. You know, the season hasn't gone to plan. It's not what we set out to achieve. We've had injuries, and we're working with a small squad, and it's not quite gone to plan for on a couple of different fronts, really, to be fair. So yeah, it has been up and down. We did have a better second half of the season, but, you know, we had also had a period in the first half of the season where we were strong, but inconsistency is obviously what's let us down this year.
Yeah, it's that middle bit, and I can remember that final game of this before the split on Scorio. You got sent off. The frustration in you was quite evident there, but you've picked yourself up massively from there. How did the change come about?
I think we just try to go back to basics, really, and sort of realise that, you know, we were on a bad run. Weren't getting beat heavily, really, or anything like that, but we were just making sort of sloppy mistakes and all that sort of thing. So it was very much a case of just trying to train hard, get back to basics, and, you know, we felt that, you know, we got the quality in the squad to you know, to pull out some results then and put a run together, really.
And as you were coming up the ranks, Aberystwyth's chance of getting the seventh spot was looking quite good as well at the time. How much of an inspiration was that to you when you could see yourself getting closer and closer to Mark Williams and Tony Gray and having that chance to take them over?
Yeah, I'm heavily self-motivated, really, to be fair. I mean, it was from the start of the season, obviously, on a personal note, target myself to try and do better than the previous season, really. Obviously, it was a big job on my hands to score more goals, potentially, than I did last year because I had a really good season. So it's nice to gain momentum. I did that towards the end of the season and managed to score a couple of late goals away at Port Talbot, which I think was probably the turning moment for me, and then built momentum off the back of that, really, I suppose. So, yeah, you know, you take heart from that.
What's the goal that sticks out for you? Is there one?
Not really, no. I think, like I said, it was a brace away at Port Talbot for me, which we came from a goal behind. They then went ahead, and then I've equalised again then deep into injury time. And I think that was those were two big goals for me, and it was a big point for the team as well, to be honest. You know, a bit of a relief, and it just kept us on the right sort of with forward momentum, really.
So, looking forward to next season now, but first, looking forward to the break. What are the summer holiday plans?
I've got a holiday booked. In a few weeks' time, I'm going away to Miami, so I'm looking forward to that. And in the main, it'll just be sort of quite a bit of cycling just to keep me ticking over and just enjoying a bit of free time, really. One of the pluses, I suppose, of missing out on Europe and things like that, if you do have more time, so I'll be making the most of that, really, and re-energising, ready to go again next year.
Congratulations to Chris Venables, the Golden Boot again for the third time. Firstly, Jonah, your tribute to Chris Venables and what he's achieved.
Well, he's done it again, three times in a row. You can't take it away from him. 20 goals in 31 appearances. Tony Gray done really well, 18 and 33, and Mark Williams, 16 and 32. They all done really well. But he's just come through at the end. It's a race. It's an individual award. Some people may say, or, you know, it's been mentioned, should it just be in the top six clubs? But it states at the start of the season, wherever you are in the league, they're Welsh, Daffabet Welsh Premier League goals. and he stood up and he's won the award for the third time in a row. So you have to say to Venables, well done, what a fantastic treble, well done.
Well, for me, a goal scored against Portalbot Rill and Haverford West is just as equal to a goal scored against MBI or Bala, so congratulations to him for that. What I think is very interesting, and I mentioned it in the interview there to him, is how that second half spurt, that he wasn't really in the mix for this in January, but that second half spurt by him and the club, for both of them to edge higher, has got him where he is today. And that, I think that makes it perhaps a more interesting or a more exciting Golden Boot for him to win.
Yeah, they finished the season really strongly, and that's why most probably he's, you know, he's edged it to win the award for the third year running. He's a very, very important player. Great finisher. Absolutely a great finisher. And maybe, Mark, they had a bit of a patch in the middle of the season where their tactics didn't allow him to break as that number 10 midfielder, and which he loves doing. And that was when they had their worst period. But towards the end of the season, their two wingers seemed to get back to form, Craig Williams and Jeff Kellaway. Rhys Griffiths or whoever else was playing centre-forward would be occupying the spots. They would have had two older midfielders. And then in he goes and he finishes off whatever comes across. But once again, third year running, tremendous achievement.
Well, congratulations to Chris, and of course, congratulations to Kevin Druids back in the Davabet Welsh Premier League next season after a season away in the Hughes Grey Cymru Alliance. Jonah, your thoughts on Druids' performance in the Cymru Alliance?
Well, they've done really well, haven't they? They've done really well to get back up at the first attempt. Absolutely fantastic. You know, they've, after 30 games, they got 66 points. They only lost 6 out of 30 games, which is tremendous. Carnarvon Town, you have to feel a little bit sorry for Carnarvon Town, because, you know, they had 75 points after 30 games and only lost 3. But off the field scenario didn't help them out. But Huey Griffiths, experienced manager, went back to Kevin Druids, and he's brought them back up into the Welsh Premier League. And we welcome him back. And we welcome the big man, likeable man, Huey Griffiths, back as well.
I mean, there's two things for me that suggest that Kevin Druids have a chance of staying up next season. The first thing is the Hughes Grey Alliance is no mugs league. It is a very difficult, very hard league, as we found out. And also that they've played in the Davabet Welsh Premier League before, quite recently, in fact, and that may give them sort of an understanding of the game they've got to play when they return to the league next season.
Yeah, definitely. They had a tough year in it last year. They started quite well, in fact. And but I'm sure, you know, there's a couple of decent players like David Forbes, you know, Blenkinstop. They've been around the league. Gareth Partridge, you know, they know the league inside out, and I'm sure they'll look forward to it. And they'll want to come back this time and prove their worth as Welsh Premier League, you know, a decent Welsh Premier League. They won't want two relegations in 3 years on their neck, so I'm sure they'll come up with a real good attitude.
We've also got to say congratulations to Niall McInnes, who has been installed permanently now as the first team manager for Rill for next season. What's your thoughts on that, Jonah?
He's done well towards the end of the season anyway. You know, he came in, people were looking at every game, whether they would, you know, whether they were supposedly relegated or not, he finished the season quite well, you know. He's already made a comment, the hard work starts now in terms of planning for the season ahead, and suggests his aspiration is to secure a top six finish for next season. Magnificent. He's not going to come in and say, you know, if we just finish above the relegation slots, as a lot of people do. He's come in and said, most probably, I'd like to get in the top six. Very positive. Very positive by the young man. He did finish the season quite well. They didn't finish bottom of the league. So, good luck to him, and congratulations to young Niall on being appointed manager in what looks like Welsh Premier League football.
And also best of luck to the British entrance for Eurovision, who's from Rhythin, I understand, Jonah.
It's not Caton, is it? Caton lives in Rhythin.
Well, it could be him, it's true. He's not in a playoff, so he could go over and compete in the Eurovision, Colin Caton.
I'll have to check him out on the karaoke.
Let's hope that he has a good time. But of course, the big event this Saturday, 5:15 on Scorio, your game live.
As we said at the beginning, it's an intriguing encounter, Mark. You know, they really are. You know, they could stare at each other, these two teams, and look at one-on-ones, you know, look at physicalities, look at wingers, look at goal scorers and look at centre-backs. It's a real cagey contest. And I think this may be the first alphabet Welsh Premier League game all season where the two opponents have started as 10 to 11 on. That's how tight the bookies see it.
Well, John is going to be busy then with Scorio at 5:15, the Eurovision after that. I'll speak to you next week. Thanks to Chris Venables, by the way, for his role in this podcast too. Next week, me and John are analysing that game and looking ahead to the new season a little bit.
To you by Audioboom.